like to begin by asking a question this morning. And this is a participatory question. Would you like to be rich? Is there any human sitting here that can't use any more money or wealth or belongings? The definition of rich that I'm thinking about may not be the same as what you're thinking about. We live in a world that there are a lot of people that hold trillions of dollars. There's probably enough wealth. You know, some people would say you take from the rich and give to the poor, spread it all out evenly. There's enough probably to take care of everybody. But the rich I'm talking about today, the definition is having an abundant supply of desirable qualities or substances. Hence the title, Being Rich Toward God.
That's right.
In this world that we live in, there is an emphasis on gaining and amassing riches. I don't believe there's any country where their citizens don't aspire to having more. Society is designed that you have to have something in order to live in.
That's right.
And so you and I find ourselves in the pursuit, just as the rest of the world, trying to get by, trying to make enough so I can pay for this, pay for that.
That's right.
If Sister Rich, in her time of affliction, had her trust in the doctors, it would have cost her quite a bit of money, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Because she'd have to go in and get diagnosed. They have to do tests, and the tests have to come back. They may get it right, they may not. But she knew the great physician.
Right.
And the great physician was able to look in, do a diagnostic. Even though he didn't touch her right away, he said, I want you to suffer a little while. And as she suffered, she came through it. And you know there were no side effects. There were no things that happen because you had to take this, you had to take that. And so the scripture that I want to read this morning is in Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and the 22nd verse. This scripture says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he add no sorrow with it. And so when I thought about her testimony, after God got finished blessing her, there was no sorrow behind it.
Amen.
There was no physical therapy she had to go through. She could go to the store, was at the store longer than she intended, and surprised at what God had did.
Thank the Lord.
A lot of times we read this verse and we kind of read it fast. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he add no sorrows to it. But you notice here, there are two commas in place. So that breaks the scripture up into three parts. The first part is the blessing of the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, have you been blessed of the Lord? Have you experienced a blessing from him? You know, it only takes one blessing from him. And it's enough to make a change for us. It causes us to be rich because he has blessed us. If the only blessing he gave to us was salvation, it would be enough to make us rich. If you don't have salvation this morning, you are missing out on a lot of riches that will go way past eternity. The riches of this world are only for this world. And as much as I can accumulate, as much as I can gain, in this day and time, when I leave this earth, none of it is going with me.
Amen, brother.
Oh, Lord.
The only riches that are going to go with me is abundant supply of desirable qualities. We're going to get into some of those by the help of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So the first part of that scripture says the blessing of the Lord. And then it says, it maketh rich. When God puts his hand in your life and begins to bless, there is a richness that comes out of that.
True. Amen.
Do you think if God allows Sister Rich to have another episode like that, will it change where she goes for the answer? Is she going to decide, well, God blessed me last time, this time I'm going to go ahead and go see Dr. So-and-so and see what he has to say? She won't do that. You know why? Because she has received the blessing from God already, and she knows if it happens again, I go right back to the physician, and he can take care of it again.
Oh, yeah.
And then it said he added no sorrow with it. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of sorrow tied to riches.
Yes.
First of all, you got to try to get it, and then you got to try to keep it, and then you stay awake at night worrying about what you got.
Amen. That is so true.
Oh, Lord.
You know, when you're growing up and you live at home, you don't realize what it takes. Your parents have a house, you live there, they may give you a few chores, they may tell you you gotta pay a little rent, but then you go get your own house. And then when you get your own house, there's some sorrows that come with that house. Because if the builders didn't build it correctly, you're gonna be fixing some things.
Yeah. That's right.
Wait till the house starts to sell and the cracks show up.
Yeah.
Then you gotta fix the floor. I gotta fix the wall. I gotta fix the outside.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so true, brother.
What about if you get two houses? Now you got twice as many worries.
Yeah.
Now I gotta have two security alarms. Because I got one for my main house, now I gotta have one over there because I'm not there.
That's so true.
That's the sorrow that's added to it.
Mm-hmm.
The writer said, cares, troubles and difficulties come with all property not acquired this way. But God's blessings give simple enjoyment and levies no taxes upon the company. Every time you make some money, what do you got to do?
Pay taxes.
You got some taxes to pay. You want to go buy some stuff at the store, what do you got to do? Pay some taxes.
That's true.
When you begin to progress through the income brackets, you're going to notice that the taxes are going to increase.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're taking more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the sorrows that come with the riches of this world.
Uh-huh.
But the scripture said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he add no sorrow to it.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
By us living in this world, sometimes it can have an influence and an effect on us.
Yes.
And we can get so caught up in trying to amass what we want to amass in this life, and that we begin to make that more of a priority than it should be.
True.
You remember the story about Samuel Morris? He wanted to come over to America. He didn't have a dime to his name.
Right.
But what he did had, he had the blessing of the Lord that made him rich. And every time he got on his knees, God opened the way and provided everything for him. He prayed his way all the way to this country.
That's right.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
We can become so caught up in our own temporal affairs that we can begin to rely on them. They can begin to become a crutch to us.
Yes.
And we forget all about the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, help us.
I took note of the scripture of the prayer that Jesus prayed. We live in this world. We are saved people. We have to operate in this world. But look here in John, the 17th chapter. Go to read verses 15 and 16. Listen to what Jesus says. He said, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You notice he said, he wasn't going to make a way for us to just, okay, you got saved, now you can just come over to heaven. You don't have to live in the world anymore. That would be nice. But there's a reason why he wants us to live in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
He wants us to be able to learn how to rightly balance the priorities in our life as to keeping him first and the world second.
Right.
He wants us to be able to recognize the evil that's in the world and when it affects us and when it's something that we can part with.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's a lot of people that like to do a lot of things in the world, but sometimes if it has an effect on you and keeps you from being spiritual the way God wants you to be, being rich toward God, then it's time to part with it.
Amen.
And so that's why Jesus wanted to keep you in the world. Not only that, there are people around you that you walking around in the world, able to live in the right way, you're going to lead them to him.
Yes.
They're going to wonder, how can you do this? How can you do that? How can you stay away from that? How can you stay away from this? It's because I am rich toward God.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
What is your priority this morning? Is it being rich toward God, or has the influence of the world affected you where your focus is on gaining riches?
Lord, help us.
So how do we become rich toward God? Let's get Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Verse 19 and 20. You have it, go ahead and read it.
And to know the love of Christ.
Which passeth knowledge.
Which passeth knowledge.
That ye might be filled.
That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Now unto him
that is able to do
exceedingly abundantly
above all that we ask or think,
according
to the power that worketh in us. You and I are serving a God that is capable of blessing us in so many ways, not only spiritual, but he can bless us temporally, he can bless us physically, he can bless us mentally, he can bless us emotionally, he can cause us to stand in firm ground in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation.
Yes, he can.
But here's the key. It said to know the love of Christ.
Yeah.
If you have not experienced the love of Christ, it's time to experience it.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it will change you. It will make you a better person. It will cause you to think correctly in your mind. It will cause you to prioritize things in your life the way they should be.
Yes. Amen.
That's true.
That's right. Thank the Lord.
To know the love of Christ.
Yes, amen.
That's the first step. But notice the second part of that. It said, which passeth knowledge. There's a worldly knowledge. There are a lot of people that have a great deal of knowledge and understanding on how to navigate and how to get gain in the world. One particular area that I know a little bit about is stocks. Well, I don't know nothing about real estate. But you know what? If I needed to know something about real estate, I could call my brother over here because he has a knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
He would feel confident in giving me direction. But we talking about a Christ that knows how to cause us to be rich towards him.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
We can't gain all the knowledge we think we can use in this world. We're always good at something. If I got an electrical problem, I can call my brother here because I know he's got a good understanding how electricity works.
That's right.
If I got a computer problem, I can call my brother right here. But you know what? If I have a soul problem, I can call Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Because he knows how to fix the soul.
That's right.
He knows how to work through the problems in our life. He knows how to take care of all the messes that are there.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
That's all right. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you.
The blessings of the Lord maketh rich.
Yes.
And he added no sorrow with it. The writer says, whatever we receive in the way of providence has God's blessing in it. And it will do us good. So you might say, I don't really want to know a whole lot about Christ. I want to limit my exposure. Because then I have an understanding that it's going to require more of me than what I'm willing to put forth. Do you want to be rich? Do you want to be rich towards God?
Yeah.
Part of knowing Christ is being able to walk through the difficult places that he takes you in life.
Yeah, that's right.
When you can't see a solution, you can't see an end to the problem, I can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't see an end, but I can put my hand in yours, and you can lead me along until we see a solution.
That's right.
That's what means being rich toward God.
Yeah.
When your friends around you begin to panic and begin to don't understand, and you know what they do? They turn to the Bible. They turn to this. They turn to that. It's because they don't have a hold of the Christ that we know.
Amen. That is so true, brother. God bless you.
Talk about farming a little bit. Farming is an occupation. And there are people in this country, and you know what they do? They plant. They wait a span of time and then they harvest. Mm-hmm. And what do they do next? Do they plow it under and start again? Mm-hmm. They sell it. There was a whole purpose for planting.
Yes.
I could put this one seed in the ground and it's going to yield me something greater than one seed.
Oh, yeah.
How many of you have planted a tree in your backyard? Maybe a fruit tree.
Uh-huh.
What was the purpose? Just to watch it grow? Maybe have a little shade? You put your lawn chair under it? No, it was to get some fruit off of it.
That's right.
Yes.
The purpose of being rich toward God is to yield fruit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some things that come from walking with the Lord, you're going to realize that they are a blessing from God.
That's right.
Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
That's right, yeah.
So let me ask you this. From the perspective of a farmer who plants that ground and yields his crop and sells it, he makes a gain. What monetary value would you place on these fruits?
All right.
How valuable would they be in our terms of money? Keeping this in mind, that these things cause you and I to have strength that is not our own. To have patience and love and all these things which are not our own. Where people look at us and say, how can you be like that? So-and-so has just did you wrong and you just turned around and prayed for them. How can you be like that? It's because of these riches.
Yeah.
Amen.
Being rich toward God.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so what value would you place upon it? We place value on things in this world, yet none of them can pass through to eternity. But these things pass over to glory.
That's right.
So what value would you place on it?
Amen.
And Lord help us.
Yes.
That's and then the next question is, how much of this fruit do you have? How much of this riches do you have? You know those things that God takes us through are to show us where we are?
Amen.
You may have that boss that really got on your nerves and you left work that day and you was fuming inside, that was another opportunity for the Lord to say, you need a little more love. Mm-hmm. You're not quite rich enough in this area. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He wants to bring us to a fullness in God.
Yes,
where there's no lacks, no issues in our life. A place where God can say, I can take this brother right here through this situation and it's going to affect all these people.
Uh-huh. Amen.
That's what he wanted to do. Being rich toward God means I am working every day to try to gain some of these things that I know Christ had.
Yeah.
You know, there are people walking around Christ and following around. There was a reason why. It was because he had something that they didn't have.
Right.
Amen.
That's true.
And when you find a saint that can walk like God and talk like God and the way they live is like God, do you know the world recognizes and said, they got something I don't have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
Here I am struggling with my life. Here I am getting upset, getting angry. Can't figure out how to solve this. I get frustrated. But you know what? There's some fruit for you. There's some riches. And that's what God has for us. These things are going to reach unto heaven. There's grace. He has the riches of grace. He has the riches of love. He has the riches of power. He has the riches of humility.
Yes. Yes, he does.
That's true.
The riches of humility sometimes work really well at home. Because sometimes, if you have a companion, you know there's some issues sometimes. And I just got to say my point. But there is some riches of humility where I can zip it up.
That's right.
Because it won't edify, it won't uplift.
Amen.
I can come back later after we calm down and maybe had a season of prayer.
Yes.
And we can discuss it like we should.
Amen.
And we can bring glory to God.
Yes.
This is a household where the riches of humility dwell.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
God help us. God help us.
These treasures.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the treasures a little bit. Matthew, the 6th chapter. 19th verse. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, mm-hmm. where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, as you read this verse, this is what you got to think about. Who is the author of this? And here we see it's in red, so that tells me Christ is the author. Now, who is more qualified to tell us the difference between this earth and heaven?
Jesus.
Have you been to heaven yet?
No.
Has anyone else that walks this earth been to heaven yet?
No.
He came down from heaven, so he knows what's up there, and he's lived in this earth. So he's been both places, and he tells us it's best for you to lay up your treasures in heaven.
Amen, brother. God bless you.
And when we are rich toward God, we are laying up treasures in heaven.
Yes.
Why do we lay it up there? The 21st verse said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Yes, that's so good.
And you can get a pretty good idea of where people's treasures are by where they spend their time.
That is
right.
True. Lord help us.
May God help us. God bless you, brother.
Now let's use earthly terms.
The Lord used you.
How many of us have worked for retirement? In the earthly terms, it's called a 401k. Or there's an IRA. Some people have stock accounts. There's other different kind of investment accounts. What are they expecting? They are expecting them to grow to a certain amount so that when I get to the point when I can't work, I can draw on that. So if we're putting our treasures in heaven, how is our retirement account? How is our spiritual retirement account today? Have you taken inventory of your spiritual account in heaven? Would you be excited? You know, you see people have a stock account. They may have bought some stocks that did really good, and they get pretty excited about it. And then you buy other stocks that they went up, and then they came back down. It's like you started where you were. And you know what? When you're excited, when it's up, you're excited. But when they come back down, it's like, I should have sold that thing.
Amen.
When you assess your retirement account in heaven, let me ask you this. Do you get excited about it?
Lord, help us.
Or do you shake your head in disbelief?
Help us, Lord.
Is there enough up there? Have you done enough to lay up treasure in heaven that you can be proud of what you've done?
May God help us.
I put forth the effort. The apostle said it this way, I finished my course.
Yes.
And you know what? He had a confidence about the treasure that he laid up. He said, henceforth for me is the laid up a crown.
That's right. The Lord.
That's what he said.
Yes.
So I ask you, how is your spiritual treasure doing this morning?
Lord, help us.
Is it where you think it should be? Better yet, is it where God expects it to be? The Lord sometimes works with it. He is merciful. He allows us time. Sometimes we stumble at it. We got to learn it, so to speak. There's a learning curve. But at a particular point in time, there is an expectation that God has for our spiritual treasure.
Amen.
And he wants it to be where he wants it to be.
Yes.
But sometimes, you know what we do? We want to shy away from the troubles and trials that come.
Yes, we do.
But do you realize it's for our good? It said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich.
Yes.
And it add no sorrow.
Yes.
So here's this account up here in heaven. And it's growing daily. As you think about your earthly activities that you do, maybe you go to your job, you put in that time, and you expect to get a paycheck. Every time you go to work, I want you to think about, what have I put in my spiritual treasure?
Yes, may God help us.
Is there enough? Have I done enough today to make it grow? To be a little bit more? You're not going to get it. It's not going to go from overnight from this little bit. Yeah, I got it all. Like Jesus.
Don't work like that.
It don't work like that. It's going to grow daily, steadily along. And every now and then, God is going to plug in a little trial there for some super growth. Sometimes your stocks go up pennies a day, but every now and then, they will run up a couple of dollars a day. You'll see a percentage, 8 to 10% growth in one day. It's like, wow, what happened? But that's what those trials are for, to help us to build our spiritual treasure.
Yes, Lord. That's all right, brother.
We got to do it while we're able.
Yes. Amen.
We can't wait till we get down to the end of life and say, oh man, I forgot about my spiritual treasure.
It don't work like that either.
There's not enough time to build it up.
You got no time, bro. You ran out. God bless you.
There's a warning given to us in Luke, the 12th chapter. We're going to read through the 21st verse.
And he spake a parable unto them.
Saying,
the ground of a certain rich man.
Brought forth plenty.
And
he thought within himself,
saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where
to bestow my fruits. Pause right there. Here's a man who diligently worked and had developed something, and its increase was far greater than he had the space for.
That's right.
spiritually, that's like Jabez. You remember him? And he asked the Lord, expand my coast. He asked the Lord to expand him spiritually, to be able to take in the blessings. But here, let's look at what this man did.
Verse 18. And he said,
This will I do.
I will pull down my barns
and build greater.
And there will I bestow all my fruits
and my goods.
And I will say to my soul,
Thou hast much goods laid up for many years.
Take thine ease,
drink and be merry.
But God said unto him,
Thou fool,
this night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself
and is not rich towards God.
Yes. Did you hear that?
There's a danger when we're not rich toward God.
Yes. Yes.
Because the enemy of our souls will tie our time up in the temporal things of life.
That's true.
He'll get us so bogged down and so stretched thin and we don't have time for God at all. Every time we may get down to prayer, it's at night, we're tired, and we'll fall asleep while we pray.
Lord, help us. That's true too, brother.
I wonder sometimes the effort that people put in to do work. What if you started off in the morning talking to God first? Yes. And said, Lord, these are the things that I have to do today. Would you please give me the strength?
Yes, Lord.
And would you not only give me the strength, but give me something on my mind to meditate for
Amen.
You?
Amen. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes.
How different would that day be?
Yes.
Beautiful.
There have been occasions when I look at the work that I had to do, and I just shook my head. I said, I've got to go to prayer because I need some help from the Lord to be able to complete everything that's on my plate. And then I get to the end of the day and realize some of the work I didn't even remember because I was too busy singing songs. The Lord brought a song I sang all day. And then I get home and I don't even feel tired. That's laying up the treasure. And he'll do that for you.
That's wonderful.
Just a little tweak. Just a little change. Recognize where the strength comes from anyways. Yes.
Right.
There is nothing that I can do with my own ability. I need God to help me with everything.
Yes.
Amen.
So why don't I just use some of my heavenly riches, my humility, and say, Lord, will you help me?
Yes.
That's wonderful, brother. God bless you.
I don't know how to get all this done. Sometimes the Lord will just work it all out. He'll line it up just so.
Yes.
And you just knock them down like pins.
That's right.
It's like, wow. I'm making progress. I'm working efficiently.
Yes.
But it's not me. It's what God gave me.
Yes, yes.
Right.
It's what he's done behind the scene to work everything out. That's what it means being rich toward God.
Amen.
Your friends come to you and say, how do you handle this problem? Well, I don't know how to handle that problem, but let me tell you something. I know somebody who does.
Yes.
Let me call them and ask them to help you.
Yes. Amen.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich,
yes.
And he add no sorrow to it.
That's all right. God bless you, brother.
I want you to consider this.
Praise God.
And I thought about this. I said, how do we help people see how important our heavenly riches are? And so I looked at how our monetary system works. A house is worth so much money. Cars are worth so much money. Our accounts are worth so much money. Our intellectual knowledge is worth so much money. You have a degree, they're going to pay you based on what the going rate is for that degree and that expertise.
That's right.
As you add the years, you can maybe command more money. Mm-hmm. Now think about this. What if your wealth in heaven was measured in the same way? And it was contingent upon you being rich toward God. And you've gone through your life and you get to heaven, there's no home there for you. The only car in your where you live is the cheapest car you can find. The clothes you have to wear are the lowest of quality. And in your savings account has a dollar. Translated, what would you expect? I'm going to be here for eternity, and this is all I have. As opposed to, if I am rich towards God, when I get to heaven, there is a mansion for me. There is the finest car I can drive, the finest clothes I can wear, and my bank account has a lot of zeros. Remember, I'm going to be there for eternity. Yeah. Do you see the difference?
A long time, brother.
This is the way we have to think about our heavenly worth. It comes down to what we put into it.
Yes.
If you are going to be rich toward God, you are banking for eternity.
That's right.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he add no sorrow to it. You and I can, when we get to the end of life, there can be a great reward waiting for us. Knowing that I'm going to be there. There is no end. As opposed to, I can put all my effort in this world. And I know there's a time stamp on my life.
Yes.
And you know what's going to happen to everything I accumulate? It's going to stay here, number one. Number two, other people are going to fight over it.
That's right.
That's what's going to happen to it. Or it's going to go, part of it's going to go to the government.
Yes.
You're absolutely right, brother.
And none of it's gone with you.
That's right.
You're absolutely right. God bless you.
So this morning, I ask you, make an assessment.
Amen.
God bless your heart.
How rich are you towards God? And what does your heavenly treasure look like? If you are not saved, you don't have a heavenly treasure. And the only way to get started on it is to get saved. To begin to know Christ and to begin to understand what he can do in your life. Don't let the devil tell you can do it on your own. I'm my own man. I'm a self-made man. It doesn't work like that when it comes to dealing with God.
True.
That's right.
The only way we can get to this place is to humble ourselves to God and let him work with us.
True.
Because every blessing he adds to us maketh us rich.
Yeah.
And there's no sorrow with it. There's joy. There is peace. There's a contentment that I know that I am doing everything that I know to do as God directs my life. And if you go through life like that, you will be looked at. You know how we look at some of these ultra wealthy people in our world? They really got something. But you know what? We want people to say they really got something with God.
Amen.
There's people that we have seen growing up across the years that we could look at and say they got something with God. And we've never forgotten about it.
That's right.
You and I can be the same way. If we put in for it. Pray for me.
Bless you.